Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 15. And tonight's teaching is about keeping God first. Or making God the first thing. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your where?
Hearts.
Sanctify, which means to set apart, right? To set apart, to carve out a place for. So the scripture tells us that we are to carve a place out for God in our hearts. The very core of who we are, innermost thoughts and feelings and self. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right? So we, as God's kids, should have a good expectation. Right? Because we are God's kids. We should have a good expectation for our life and for what God wants for us. Right, we set God apart in our hearts. We give Him a special place. And then we should have a good expectation as a result. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Right? That's what God wants. He wants us to carve out a place for Him. Which is only reasonable considering He created us and gave us all this wonderful stuff. Matthew 6:19. It says, lay not up for yourselves, God bless you, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Treasures upon earth. What you value the most, what you set your thoughts and your heart upon, it shouldn't be about things on the earth, material things. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be what? Also. So we should give God and the things of God more weight, more time in our own thoughts, right? That should be what occupies our thoughts more than other things on the earth, right? Other things of the world. We should allow for that, those thoughts of like what God's done for us or things about His Word to occupy our thoughts more than other stuff. That's where our treasure should be, up in heaven, on things above. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, that's a care or a concern or an anxiousness, don't be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Wherewithal should we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, right? This is what the unbelievers worry about. What am I going to eat and drink? Where's my next meal coming from? What am I going to wear? But God knows that we have need of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, right? And so God wants us to seek Him first. And that's our first leg day. God first. God should be first in our lives. Other second, and I'm willing to be third, right? So what we should put on first is God. If we seek God first, He's got the rest. He takes care of the rest. And that way we don't have to be worried or concerned or anxious because God's got it, right? God's got it taken care of. If you set Him apart, sanctify him in your hearts, and then everything else gets handled, right? That's his promise. You make him a priority and the rest is set. Go to Exodus chapter 20. And making one thing a priority, focusing your efforts on one thing, is a lot easier than spreading yourself thin across a whole lot of other stuff, right? You could spend all day planning and thinking and worrying about everything that's going on in your life, or you can just make sure you've carved out that time with God. And then everything else falls in place. It's a lot easier. And I like easy. Exodus 20, verse 1. And this is what God, when he first gave his law to people, this is the first commandment, the first thing in his law. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So he's very clear. No other gods before me. Don't make any statues or any images of anything else, whether they're stars, planets, anything on the earth, or any fish under the water. Right? It's all idolatry. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my what? Commandments. And so that's all that God has asked of his people, right? Is that they put him first. That they set him apart in their hearts. Right? We don't let anything else become the object of our service except for God. Right? No matter what it is. Whether it's a hobby, it's another person, it's whatever. We don't want anything above God. It's got to be God first. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. And he told the children of Israel, if you do this, right, his mercy and his grace, his kindness, all those benefits would be theirs. It's really simple. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's division against God. Remember when he said that he would put enmity between thy seed and her seed? A division, a cutting off. A carnal mind is a division against God, right? Because it's putting other stuff first. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, right? A carnal mind is one focused on the world or on things of the flesh rather than of God. And so to be spiritually minded, which is the opposite, right? To set our treasures up in heaven like it talked about. To be spiritually minded is life and it's peace. It's peace. So not only is it life, which is, you know, a blessing in all of its manifestations to us, but it's peace. It's peace. It's like a peaceful thing. So if we feel scatterbrained about something or uneasy about something, all we have to do is change our minds, right? Be spiritually minded. And then we have peace. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. We're going to take a look at a word here. In Luke 2:49, that word is subject. We just saw it in verse 7. Subject means to be underneath or in accordance to. And we're going to look at how it's used before we get to the verse I want to talk about. Luke 2:49. This is speaking of the time when Jesus Christ was left behind in the temple and his family moved on without him as a boy. It says, "And he said unto them, How is it you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." So that word subject is to be underneath or in accordance to, right? He was a young boy still, and he was subject to his parents, right? They went and found him and grabbed him and brought him back. And he was subject to them, right? He was learning about God's word in the temple, but he still had to obey his parents in the Lord, for that is right. Subject. Go to chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. This verse, the context is the 70 disciples that were sent out to preach the word and to heal people. And in 10:17 it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy." They were so happy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through what? Thy name." So again, the usage here is subject, underneath, or in accordance to. The devils themselves had to listen and had to obey what they were saying because they were using Jesus Christ's name, right? And that's what it is to be subject. You're in control of the situation, right? Jesus had to obey his parents. The devil spirits had to listen to these guys. So that's the usage of subject. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. It says, "For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted." Right? And this is the section we're talking about prophecy and gifts of speaking in tongues and stuff. Verse 32, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the what? Prophets." So, your manifestation of the Spirit is subject to you. You, the one who operates it, right? You're the one who controls it. You're the one who thinks the thoughts and does it. For God is not the author of what? Confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints, right? So, we're to be in control of our brains, of the Holy Spirit that we have. It's subject to us, right? Your mind is subject to your will, right? And so we need to control our minds, right? Control our minds. And that's in relation to not letting anything else take precedent in your life, right? Some people let other things take precedent because that's what they focus on. They focus on a career or another person or an interest, and that becomes all-consuming. And then other people, what happens is they let fear or anxiety or the pressures of what's going on in the world take over. And it's really no different, right? Those things weigh down and push out God, right? Because that's what they concentrate on, and that's what they're consumed by. But your mind is subject to your will. You have control over your thinking, and you can think the word. Right? That's the way that God made us. So that we can think the word. That we have the ability to control that ourselves. And God wants us to renew our minds, as we know in Romans. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. So it has to be a free will decision. Just like speaking in tongues or prophesying or doing anything else, you're in control. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or anything else. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, don't be anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Look at those birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap. You don't see them out there farming. Have you ever seen a bird farm? Digging holes and planting seeds and coming back later? Carrying little water in their beaks and boop, 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 dribbling on there? They don't do that. They don't even gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much better than birds? You're way better than birds. Which of you, by taking thought, by being worried or anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? What good does worrying do? Is it going to make you any bigger, better, or anything else? No, it's not. If you're worried or you're anxious, you cannot keep God first. Right? If you're worried or you're anxious, you're not able to keep God first because your focus is on something else. You cannot serve God and mammon. Right? And that's what God's telling us. Therefore, because you can't do both, don't worry about it. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it freak you out. Just keep God first. Go to Luke 12, verse 24. Because God's got it. He's got it taken care of. Man, don't you see that God wants your life to be so simple? He doesn't want to make things hard for you. That's not the kind of God we have. We have a God that his desire is to make life a blessing and easy. Because if it's a blessing and it's easy and you're peaceful, you can do his word. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to make it hard. Verse 24, Luke 12, 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls, than the birds? And which of you, with taking thought, being worried or anxious, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought or worry about the rest of it? Right? If you're not able to do anything about that little thing, why are you worried about the bigger stuff? It's not productive. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. So flowers, have you ever seen a flower toiling or spinning? That means sowing and working? No, I've never seen a flower do that, ever. And if I do, get me some medical attention. They don't do it. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Right? God takes care of it. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Right? Are you not better than the birds that he feeds? Are you not better than the grass that he clothes with beautiful flowers? God's got it covered. Bam! God's got it covered. He takes care of it. You don't have to worry about that stuff because God has it. Freaking out about what's going on or where you lack or whatever it is, what you're anxious about, is not the avenue to change that situation. Freaking out does not ever fix anything. God fixes stuff. God is the avenue to change. God is the avenue to deliverance. Right? And so you put God first and let him handle it. Let him take care of the rest. So the first thing needs to be God. And then he's got the rest. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Right. Nobody who ever worried made themselves about being short made themselves taller. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But God will help you out. John 5, verse 41. Another aspect to keeping God first is ignoring other people. And sometimes that's hard. But John 5, 41 says, I receive not honor from who? Men. That's not where Jesus Christ got his honor from. He probably got a lot of praise and admiration. Can you imagine doing the miracles that he did and people just being like, ho. They were probably, he had followers everywhere he went. People followed him around. I've never done anything where people have followed me around because they thought I was that awesome. Right? But that's not where Jesus Christ got his honor from. Verse 42, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. And he's speaking to the Jews at the feast. I am come to my Father, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Right? Again, if they came in their own name, promoting their own selves, that's somebody who's promoting a man, themselves. That's somebody they'll receive. Verse 44, how can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Right? And so that's what we want to do. We want to seek God's honor, not man's. Not man's. There is an honor, a glory, a recognition that can only come from God. Right? You can be honored of men. You can have people think you're really cool. But seeking that continually from man is only ever going to disappoint. Seeking acceptance, seeking somebody to praise you and to make you feel good about yourself will only ever lead to disappointment. Because ultimately, man isn't perfect. And they're going to fall short. And you're not going to get that recognition. But seeking it from God and doing His word, keeping Him first, He will honor you. That honor, that glory, that recognition will come from God. Right? So we put Him first. Verse 30. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. I can of mine own self do anything I want. I'm the Son of God. I can do everything. I'm perfect. No. Cannot. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Even Jesus Christ, the only perfect human being, could do nothing on his own. He recognized that God was the source of his power, of his ability, of his prosperity, of all the good stuff that he had was because of God, right? And he put God first. He always did the will of the Father. If he had a question on what to do, it was not what would Jesus do, what would God do, right? That's what he would do. He would keep God first. Psalm 5, verse 3. Just a couple more verses here. So we don't want to get stuck in a place where we're anxious or we're worried. We want to keep God first. We don't want to get stuck in a place where we're looking for acceptance and honor and glory from man. We want to keep God first. We don't want to put anything else above God. We want to keep God first. Psalm 50, that's not 5. Psalm 5, verse 3. This is what we can do. My voice shalt thou hear in the what? Morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up, which means to seek God. In the morning, he wakes up to God. The first thing he does is God. Focus on God. And then in Psalm 63, verse 6, he doesn't punch out at 6:32 a.m. once he's woken up and said hello. Psalm 63, verse 6, it says, when I remember thee upon my what? Bed. And meditate on thee in the night watches. Late at night, as I'm going to sleep, again, it's God, right? And that's how you keep God first. Wake up to God. Go to bed with God. You start and you end your day with God, right? Wake up and say, good morning, God. And before you go to bed, you say, good night, God. Thanks for a great day. And then throughout that day, you keep that going, right? That God becomes just this presence in your life that you're always talking to, that you're always recognizing, that you're always thanking and praising and whatever, that it's God first. Go to 3 John chapter 1. It's only one chapter. 3 John verse 2. We'll close here. So we want to keep God first. Real simple. We want to wake up with him. We're going to go to bed at night thanking him. Spending the day talking to him. And not worrying about the world, not worrying about people, not worrying about the other stuff. God first, everything else gets taken care of. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's the will of God for us. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the what? Truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, which is to do God's word, right? God's greatest joy is to see his kids do his word, right? Which means keeping him first. And when we do, we will prosper. We will be in health. And God, I mean, there's two superlatives in these three verses. He's the greatest joy that he has is to see his kids do his word. And the thing that he wishes above all else is that we are prosperous and healthy. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. And if we do his word and we keep him first, that's what we're going to get. Health and prosperity and blessings.